Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1 with It's for Women. The car insurance you can sort online anytime.
Well, look, we move on. In May 2018, Ireland voted by a 2-1 margin to change the constitution to allow for the legal provision of abortion. 3 years on, the legislation to provide for those services is being reviewed as part of a commitment by politicians to people on all sides of the issue to monitor its operation. But this morning, we're looking at why, after many years of disappointment and decisive defeats, that the campaign to repeal the Eighth Amendment was successful in persuading two-thirds of voters to agree the need for change. And I'm joined on the line now by two women who helped lead that campaign and whose stories are told in a new film entitled The Eighth. Alva Smith and Andrea Horan, good morning to you both.
Morning.
Good morning, Miriam.
Good morning to you both. Listen, Alva, let me start with you. I watched the film. It's a really great watch, actually. And I'm interested this morning in finding out what turned, I suppose, both of you into activists and campaigners. And Alva, you've been involved in referendum campaigns for decades. But what was your personal motivator in 2018?
Well, I mean, that really goes back to when I was a young woman and was terrified and frightened, like so many young women then, when contraception was very sketchy. And of course, you couldn't have abortion in this country. I was always afraid that I would become pregnant. And I had what I call Plan B in my back pocket, which was, what would I do if I did become pregnant? So it was really a thread to, and a very important thread throughout my whole life, because, of course, when I then had a daughter and realised that the situation was still the same in Ireland, and then, you know, lo and behold, what happens in the 2000s, but I have a granddaughter and the situation was still the same. And all of that time, I and so many others have been campaigning to enable women to make our own choices. And there was something just cracked in me, you know, after the death of Savita Halappanavar. I just thought, right, we have to put this straight. We have to get this sorted. It is appalling.
And in terms of campaign, there's a fab moment in the documentary film, Alva, where there's you in John Bowman's Questions and Answers studio. I just found it fascinating because I'd never seen it before. And you're surrounded by men and you're talking about women's rights and they look like they're actually going to have, I don't know, breakdowns, all of them. Well, do you remember that moment?
Well, I sort of remember that moment, but the point is that it blurs into so many other moments, because there's absolutely no doubt about it that my young womanhood, and in fact my middle-aged womanhood as well, was just wall-to-wall men, absolutely everywhere, Miriam. And if you spoke sternly to them at all, should they just wilted like little petals?
What about you, Andre? In the lead up to the 2018 campaign, where was your focus? Where was your motivation?
I was very late to the train and getting on board, but I have a nail bar in Dublin, and it was when Catherine Zappone came in to get her nails done with her wife-to-be for their wedding. And
I love it.
Our WhatsApp group was full of glitter and chat and gossip and all that kind of jazz. And once the girls had been exposed to this like small bit of politics, they were completely mobilised. And I was kind of fascinated by, if you're going to the places and spaces where these women are, you could get this huge army of women to kind of get politicised. And so I've been working in PR for years. So I've been running campaigns, but for brands rather than activism. And I was interested in women's rights. And I was like, if we could mobilise this army of women with that little bit of exposure, surely women's rights would become more of a red line issue. And obviously repeal was gaining momentum and was something I was really interested in personally. So I kind of started this platform called The Hunreal Issues, which was about talking to young women in the way they talk in spaces and places where they were, and to try and make it more of and Alva gives out to me all the time, because I'm not a lover of protest in the traditional sense. And I was like, what way can I use my platforms to protest in a way that can get the message across? So I was thinking, if I'm like that, I know there's more women like that as well. So we started the Hunreal Issues. It was very led by celebrity and social media and just getting buy-in, I suppose, from younger women on the campaign.
there's some beautiful irony almost in the fact that it was Catherine and Anne Louise going in to get their nails done for their wedding that actually switched you to be really an activist, Andrea.
Yeah, it was definitely a mobilizer for sure, because I think it was around the time of it was obviously a general election because Catherine was running, but I had just seen so much women's media that was very focused on what kind of hairstyle are you going to wear for the general election count? And I was like, Jesus, we are so much more than that as women. And just because we have interests that like are maybe perceived as a bit more fluffy or like an interest in fashion and makeup doesn't mean that we aren't political and that we don't care about that stuff. So yeah, it was definitely the meeting of beauty, Catherine getting her nails done, and politics. So I think that was something that was very important to me, that to, and why I agreed, I suppose, to be in the film, is that you don't have to be a traditional activist to activate, and also that you can be interested in a wide range of interests and still be political.
Absolutely. And Alva, I'd really like to know why you think your campaign, that it succeeded in 2018, pulling across many people, you know, who might have voted against change in the past. What lessons have been learned? And I'm thinking of the late, great Noel Whelan, of course, and he was talking to me about the marriage equality. Now, obviously, that's very different to Repeal the Eighth. But, you know, that whole ground campaign and working on individual stories.
Well, you know, the marriage equality campaign that Noel was so closely involved in, and he was a fantastic help to us then in Together for Yes, that was really very important. And it certainly seemed to me and others back around 2012 that and I felt that the marriage equality, there would be a referendum on marriage equality, that it should come before abortion, because if we were fortunate enough to win that, and that was a fantastic campaign, that we had a much better chance with the Eighth Amendment, with abortion. I mean, I do think, Miriam, that people, you know, there were so many changes in Ireland in the 1990s with clerical child sex abuse, the abortion referendums that we had in 92 and again in the early 2000s, the crash, and then, as I say, the death of Savita, that people had really got to the point where there was a kind of recognition that abortion was happening. It was a reality. It was just that we exported it over to England, and that we really needed to tackle it, which... It was about saying the time has come for us to confront and look head on at this problem. And I think that was a huge motivator, winning then the marriage equality referendum. And I had the very real privilege to be involved. That was a tremendous boost for us. But I remember, and I'm glad you mentioned Noel Whelan, because I remember Noel saying, I think it was at a marriage equality event, that you always have to remember in a referendum campaign that you are not setting out to win an argument. You are setting out to win a referendum, which meant that we really had to take our case for repeal of the Eighth Amendment to the people as a whole. Actually, you know, that's where Andrea comes in, who's saying, look, you know, I'm not a traditional activist, but what I have to say and the people I speak with is very important, because you have to talk with everybody and you have to get them to talk to you, and you have to look at their fears and you have to look at their reservations and you have to deal with those and address them and not lecture them and hector them, but really have genuine conversations and say, what is it that worries you about this? And I think that was something that we really set about doing. One of the important ways that we won, I think.
Yeah, and it was, in that way, a gentler campaign. I mean, Andrea, what do you think the campaign, I suppose, to repeal the Eighth might teach people, maybe for future campaigns or future action?
Well, from my own personal experience, I went into it and we in the Unreal Issues, we had this mantra that it was like, we're here to throw glitter on an issue without minimising it. That to be able to campaign and be involved in activism, it doesn't have to be a hardship. It doesn't have to, like, obviously it was very stressful and it was very It was a difficult time, but we kind of approached it in ways that were fun and colourful, like, and full of art. And like, we did the mural with Mazer. That was a heart. It was all positivity, and it spread, and people took it on board themselves and edited it. And it was, so we were trying, really focused on trying to, I suppose, and how lucky for me that I took, was able to focus on the light stuff. And there was so many other people that were carrying the much heavier stuff. But I think that if you do want to get involved in campaigning, that if you, you can tap into where you are at and the skills you have and your own personality, that it doesn't have to be a certain way, and that that has been done before. And like, we're doing a panel with people who've activated with joy, and we have people who ran raves in Belfast and Dublin. We have Richard Malone, the designer, who wore a repeal t-shirt to meet the Queen. So you can have fun, and even if an issue is very serious, that you can do it in your own way. And that, hopefully that's the message people get from my side of being in the film.
And also to you both, I'll ask you first, Alva. I just during the break there, I was listening to my great colleague Brendan interviewing Richard Dawkins in that brilliant interview last week. Obviously, Brendan has a daughter with Down syndrome, and Richard Dawkins had said he felt it was immoral to bring a child like that into the world. So were you conscious, though, that repealing the eighth, it is extremely sensitive to the third of the people, Alva, who voted against this?
Well, yes. I mean, I think that, you know, we did have a tremendous victory. And I think it's really important for us not to underestimate that either, Miriam, when, you know, the legislation is up for review. Now, the people did speak very strongly. They said they wanted women to be able to decide for themselves whether or not to continue a pregnancy if that question arises for them. And I think that we do need to look at that 66%+ of people. At the same time, you're quite right. Of course, there is a, was a third of the electorate who decided against that decision. We do, of course, and we were always during our campaigning very aware and conscious of that. However, this is a democracy. We went out there in very good faith, certainly in the Together for Yes campaign. And I know I speak for the other co-directors, Orla O'Connor and Gráinne Griffin, and everyone who fought that game, that campaign. We went out there absolutely in good faith to explain and demonstrate to people why we needed to repeal the Eighth Amendment, and that that was not out of disrespect, that we have to respect everybody's decision equally. And that goes both ways. And I would always stand by that.
And Andrea, yeah, we know that, you know, many Irish people, a third, opposed abortion for, I suppose, a range of reasons. Did you ever worry, Andrea, I suppose, that the light touch, the fun aspect of the campaign, that it might upset people who are passionately opposed to abortion? And was there a risk ever of appearing maybe flippant?
Yeah, we were always very cognizant of how we were appearing, and everything was very thought through. So it wasn't a case that we were just going out going, this is so much fun. It was a case of taking, we were very cognizant that we didn't want to minimize the issue. So it was a very strategic campaign in terms of in throwing that glitter, but it was something that we would think about. But at the same time, for those people who it might upset, there also has to be the thing that, well, I'm upset that I don't have control of my own body, and that I can't make decisions about myself, and that I can't be controlled of how I communicate then, but to get control of my own body. So it was definitely something that we were cognizant of, and we were always trying not to rub it in people's faces, etc. But at the end, we did, there was one event where we did get a bit of pushback on that, and we were like, well, to be honest, having autonomy over my own body is a celebration. So I don't have any, I'm not apologetic about that in one at all, but would obviously not try and rile anyone or upset anyone at the same time.
Final question to you, Alva. Look, it's a great watch. The 8th, it's called. It's going to stream from May the 25th on IFI at Home, Volta and Breakout Pictures. What did you feel watching it, Alva? I mean, both yourself and Andre are great in it, but there's so much archive of you, Alva, going right back.
Well, actually, I think I was just very moved that, you know, our wonderful three filmmakers, that they had brought together so much material, which I think helps us to understand why finally repealing the Eighth Amendment really was a historic moment. And I don't cry very often. I did actually cry at the end when I saw the very first run through of the film, because I just felt very moved when I thought of the hundreds, thousands of women in particular, but also men, but especially women who have fought so hard for so long for this right and to have achieved it for women in this country. And I thought of, you know, my daughter and my little granddaughter, and I thought of the very different Ireland that they have grown up, can grow up in. And I am very, just very grateful for that.
Okay.
It still moves me, though.
Well, look, Alva Smith and Andrea Horan, thank you both very much for taking the time to speak to me this morning. Mind yourselves. We'll take a break.